Christian at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is November 2nd, 1981. The interview is taking place at the home of Anna Hopin and is being conducted by Inger Carr. What is your full name, please?
Anna Malina Hopin.
Maiden name in there.
Tweten.
Tweten Hopin.
Yes.
Okay, when and where were you born?
I was born at Lemons Beach, out there by University Place now.
That's in
Tacoma.
Tacoma, Washington.
Yes.
When?
That was in 1913, November 25th, 1913.
Now you must tell me why they call you an immigrant, because you were born in Tacoma, Washington.
Well, in 1920, the whole family left for Norway, and I stayed over there for 11 years. In 1931, I came back again.
So you were 7 years old when you went back to Norway, and you were how old when you came back here?
I was just about 18.
Oh. Now, what were your parents' names?
My father's name was Omon Carlson Tweten. My mother's name was Pauline Amalia Leland.
Malia?
Leland.
Leland. Can you tell me something about them, what they did, and anything about them at all, occupation and so forth?
Well, my father had different kind of work when he... because he immigrated, you know, and then came, I think it was to Michigan when he first came over.
When was that?
The years, I just don't know.
You know approximately? Had he been here for a long time?
No, he was just here then for a couple, 3 years, and then he went back to Norway, and then he came back again the second time, and then he went home again and stayed, was helping on the farm, and then he came back again, and then still he was in Michigan.
Okay.
And then he went home again to Norway, and then came back again. That time he came out here west. And then he worked up in the logging camps. And I think he worked mostly as a filer when he was in the logging camp.
Filer. Filer. What's that?
Filing the saws for the ones that was falling the trees.
Oh, I see.
And then he was married, and then he came...
married here?
Yes.
So your mother, was she born in Norway, though?
Yes, she was born in Norway.
When did she come here, then?
I don't know. It wasn't either 1904 or 5.
Okay.
I couldn't say exactly.
Mm-hmm. Where did she come from in Norway?
From Sirdal. We're just a short ways from Stavanger.
Is that where your father came from, too, or where did
yes,
he come from?
He came also from Sirdal.
And do you know what your mother was doing here? What kind of work she was
well,
doing?
Well, she was doing just more or less for a while. She started out with that kind of domestic housework.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, after that, she was working in the laundry, where she had the work of ironing the men's collars on the shirts. So I don't know of anyone that does nicer work of ironing a men's collars than Mother. She was excellent at that.
Mm.
But then she got married, and then there, you know, it was... Then she was cooking in a camp.
Logging
camp. Mm. Yeah, because my oldest brother was born in one of those logging camps up there in Deming, up by Bellingham.
Oh, what's his name?
That is Carl.
Is he here?
He lives over in Gig Harbor. If you went over to him, he got the whole... history of the family written down.
Is that right?
So you could read it, but you see, he can't see. He couldn't read it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But he got it, everything written down on.
What was his occupation?
Carl?
Mm-hmm.
He was, when he first came over to this country, he was working in a logging camp. And then the logging camps, I think they kind of went broke during the Depression years, and then he went to Alaska.
Hmm.
And then he was prospecting there. He was working there for different jobs, and then he was prospecting there until he got hurt and lost his, practically all his eyesight.
Oh, that's how he lost his eyesight.
In an explosion.
Oh. In a mine then, was that?
Yeah, they were mining.
Hmm. Was he a fairly young man when that happened?
Oh, yes. I don't know what year it was, 1940, something like that. Mm-hmm. Either 40 or 41, I couldn't say for sure. But he's been doing real well.
So has he kept working, or what did he do after that?
Well, even he... For a long time, he worked down at, what do you call that there? Plywood place, Northwest Plywood plant. He worked there for quite a number of years, and then I think it got a little bit too much for him, so then he quit. And then he's been just kind of working on his own, and he's been buying land and selling land of his. He's not in the real estate business, but just on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then he built his own house.
Mm-hmm.
He cut all the timber from his own place.
Well, back to your mother and father now. They were married here, and then here in Tacoma. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your oldest brother was born?
Yeah, he was born up in in Deming.
And then are you next in line?
No, then Martha's next.
Martha's next.
Uh-huh. But she was born up by University Place, which was in those years called Lemons Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's on our birth certificates.
I see.
And which very few people, I think, now realize and know the name was Lemons Beach.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
And... then Oscar was next in line.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm the fourth one.
I see. And then your parents decided to go back to Norway? Why?
My father, he was kind of planning on to take over the farm and work there, but something came up that he'd think it didn't pay, so he started driving the bus.
In
Norway.
Where?
In Sirdal. He was the first one that ever had started that there. They formed a company, and he was the driver there, both for passengers and the freight.
Oh.
Up through the valley, and naturally the mail went with that too.
I see. So where did the bus go?
It went from, from Tonstad, from the lower part of the valley to Åmli, that is the middle part. That was in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, he went clear up to Fijilan.
Further in the wintertime?
No, in the summertime.
Oh, in the summertime.
Yeah,
okay.
Because in the wintertime, they had to carry the mail on their back. They went on their skis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. But now they have the plows and they drive up there all winter, I think.
So what town did they take it to?
Well, Flekkefjord would be the closest town.
Oh, okay. Is that where they got supplies from too then?
Yes.
To take to the people?
Yes.
Flekkefjord.
That came in on a little boat that was on this area called for Sirdalsvatn.
Oh.
And that's just... a little lake in the there in the mountains. It's 3 Norwegian miles long.
Is that right?
And very, very narrow.
It's like a river almost, huh?
Yeah, it looks more like a river. Oh. Because it's so narrow.
So what was that lake used for?
They had that transportation with a little steam boat that went there and freighted. That was the only way that they had freight there for many years.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, your grandparents, were they living there when you came back?
Only my father's mother. She was living. She lived for about a year after we came over there.
Oh. Now, do you remember her?
Oh, yes.
What was her name?
Her name was Marte.
Marte, can you tell me her whole
M-A-R-T-E.
Name?
M-A-R-T-E. She was 80 years old.
What was her whole name? Her maiden name?
Maiden name was Lunde.
Lunde. Where was she from then?
She was also from Sirdal, just a little bit farther down.
Is that the same as Lundy here?
Yes.
Does that mean something? Do you know? Was it a family name?
It was a family name.
Mm-hmm. And then your grandfather, what did he do? And what was his name?
His name was Carl. Carl Peterson.
Carl Peterson. Mm-hmm. Did you say this was your father's?
That was my father's.
Why Peterson? That wasn't your maiden name.
No, but Carl Peterson Tveiten.
Oh, Carl Peterson Tveiten.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he get the Peterson? Isn't that a...
That was his father's name again. See, that's what they went by over there, you know. It was from father to son, and then that's why my father had the name of Carlson, because his father's name was Carl.
Mm. Your father's name was Carlson?
Omund Carlson Tveiten.
Tveiten. Mm-hmm. Tveiten, does that come from something?
Well, that is that their little place there that they call Tveiten. There is so many houses there, just a small place. I think there is about 7 or 8 farms on Tveiten.
Mm.
And everybody had their little place.
And they were all named Tveiten?
Yes.
But they weren't related?
I don't think that in later, but in far back, I think that there is, it kind of, the whole valley, I think, kind of connects.
Does that mean something, do you know? In Norwegian?
What was that?
Tveiten. Does it mean something?
Well, I don't really know what it means. There's so many definitions about that, so I just couldn't explain.
Mm-hmm. Now, they were farmers.
Oh, yes.
What kind of farmers? What did they farm?
Well, they're just for their own use, more or less, that their way that far up in the valley, the only thing they could grow was the potatoes and what do you call it? Probably that would be oats and the rye.
Mm.
And then, well, how about rye? They didn't have much of the rye. It was mostly barley. That's what.
Now, did they sell that, or was it just for their own, for their cattle?
As far as I remember, I think it was just for their own use.
So how did he make any money, your grandfather, do you know?
No, I don't know. Well, of course, you know, there was, you know, again, they lived on the what do you call it, in the mountains that they had, you know, with trapping and...
They had cattle,
sold cattle and all, and then they had the sheep in the mountain and where they took care of them, and they got income from that, and then when they went to town, they sold their... you know, if you read Carl's, what he has written, then you really would get the whole thing, because he got it all written down.
What do they sell?
They would sell the hide of the cattle and then trade.
Uh-huh. And they didn't sell the milk, though, there?
No, not at that time. No, they sold, you know, they made the butter and sold the butter.
Okay. Did they make cheese, too?
Oh, yes.
They sold that, too?
Yes.
Did they have goats, too?
They did have goats in later years. I don't know how much, if they had much in really olden days there, but then we always had we had a lot of goats.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about your grandparents on your other side, on your mother's side?
Yeah, they...
What were their names?
That his name was Omund Peterson... a Homplan, and then they moved to Leyland, and then he used the name Leyland.
Wow.
And your mother's, and his wife?
No.
Her name was Anna Malena Espetveit.
Espetveit.
For me?
No.
And were they farmers too?
Yes. But what work, I imagine, what must have been in the same... Mm-hmm. manner, because they lived up there and just
in the same area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You said both their names, did you, on the tape?
Yes.
You said both their names.
Yes.
Right. Now, when you, did you tell me all your brothers and sisters yet?
No, that I came as far as myself, and then had a sister named Elma, and she died when she was 21 years old.
Oh, where did she, in Norway?
Right here.
Uh-huh.
And then Bertha, her name is Berg now, and she lives over here on North 9th Street. And she married a Swede.
Oh.
And then Jorgen.
Okay, Jorgen.
Jorgen, he was born in Norway. And then our youngest brother, Barney, he also was born in Norway.
What are they doing? Are they here?
Jorgen, he is over in Paulsbo.
What does he do?
Well, he worked at Keyport for many years for the Navy. And then Barney, he is in Alaska and been there for quite a few years.
What's he doing there?
He's been working mostly up in the Arctic. So
Doing what?
He's been running, I think, these bulldozers and kind of where they make the roads and things and that they're lying. But mostly in the... when there's cold.
Now, you remember going back. How did you feel about going back to Norway? Or going to Norway?
Well, that as a child, you know, we had a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Do you remember your trip?
Oh, yes, that I sure do remember.
Can you tell me about it?
Oh, I don't know.
Was by boat?
Yeah, we went by boat, and lucky enough, I wasn't seasick when we went to Norway, so that was a pretty good trip.
Uh-huh. It was a nice trip.
Yeah.
And then how about when you got to Norway? What did you think about your new home?
Well, that was quite an experience coming home because we went by this here small, first by train from Stavanger and then to where we up there where we took the boat, you know, and went by Osen and went up to Tonstan, that their little boat, and then they met us by a horse and wagon down there, and that was, we had that ride all up the whole valley.
Oh, what did you think of that?
Well, I don't know. We didn't think too much of that.
Did you?
At night it was dark, and so we didn't see much of the valley the first night, I think, because it was just pitch dark.
Oh.
So when first thing I came off there, I thought I met the bear. It was a lamb that they had there, and I just didn't realize. But otherwise, there wasn't so much. You know, we was just a bunch of kids and had a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. How about now? You were ready for school. Had you started school here?
I went through the first grade
here.
Yes.
And then you started there?
Yes.
Was that first grade again? Because don't they start at 7?
They had over there what they call small school and store school. There was not any grades up there in the valley where we came from.
Oh.
And we went to school in the small school 12 weeks in a year.
That's all.
Uh-huh. And then when we was around 10, I think that's when we went into the store school, and then we went 14 weeks.
What did you do the rest of the time?
Oh, I helped working on the farms. You know, every one of the kids had their work to do.
Mm-hmm. Were you used to that from here? Had you lived on a farm here, or lived more?
Yeah, well, at that time, it was more or less like a farm up by University Place we lived. So that was not too strange to us.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about not going to school all year, though?
That I can't remember how, because, you know, we really was busy with our chores.
Mm-hmm. So did you live in the old place then, on your father's
home?
Yes,
we lived in one end of the house, and my uncle They lived on the other end of the house, so we had the half of the house.
Oh, and did he have a family too?
It was only him and his wife.
So no children?
No.
So he did really the farming. He got the profits from the farming.
Yes.
And your father worked
yes,
out.
That's right.
I see. What can you remember about Norway? Well, I think of like Christmas celebrations, maybe.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
How did you celebrate Christmas? Tell me about Christmas in Norway.
I don't know. We used to have quite a bit of this here, what you call these Juletrefest, you know, celebration where they had more or less children's programs. And then as we got older, we took in from one place to another of these. That was our celebration, really, all week that we went to these Christmas programs.
Were they in homes?
No, they were in different schoolhouses.
Hmm.
So we went from one schoolhouse to another, and they never was at the same time.
What kind of programs were they?
It was just children would read, and then they would have these here going around the Christmas tree singing carols. That was our main treat about Christmas.
Mm.
So that, but in the outside of that, I think it was not any special.
A lot of baking, preparing ahead of time?
Well, I'd done so much of the outside work that I'd done very, very little baking when I was in Norway.
Oh. Even, your mother did?
Yes. But after I got over here, it's different when I started working. I've been done a lot of baking. But over there, I just didn't because I was working. I preferred to work outside.
I see. But do you remember what you had to eat maybe on Christmas Eve? What was particular?
Oh, we used to have what we called pinsteak.
What's
and that?
That
is, we just put the... Or the meat on a skewer, you know, and roasted it right in the coals,
mm.
And that was always for Christmas.
Christmas Eve.
Mm. And Christmas Day, I can't remember what special dinners we had, but we used to be together with the family then.
Christmas Day was your day to get together with the family.
Yeah.
But Christmas Eve was by yourself.
Yes.
Did you go to church when?
The second day of Christmas, because we lived in a valley where the lower part always had the first Christmas Day, and then we had the second Christmas Day.
Oh. Were the churches the same size, or was yours kind of small?
Very much the same size. I think very much the same size, but the other one was naturally was built before, and so this here in the upper valley was built later.
Mm. Did you go to that one for a confirmation?
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, was church a very important part of your family's
Oh,
life?
Yes. Yes, that it was.
Did you? Yeah. You went all the time on Sundays?
Yes, and I was, after I was grown, I was in the choir, and we used to, then we just felt we had to be there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we went to church a lot, and that way... We had to, that was every other Sunday.
Oh, one pastor for both churches.
Then. Yes.
I see. How about other things from Norway? Were you told stories about trolls or about the Julenissen?
Yes, we were told all kinds of stories till they just about scared us to death to walk out.
Is that right? Can you tell me some, just tell me a couple.
Oh, I can't tell it. Because I'm not the one that care much about the troll in the first place. that's not one of my
You didn't believe
favorite.
It too long.
No.
Well, what about Christmas Eve? Did they put food out for the Julenissen?
I can't remember that we did. It seems to me that I can remember the sometimes they put some mush down in the racing grid,
mm-hmm.
down in the barn. And by morning it was gone, and far as that we tried to figure that out, that we thought it was the rats that ate it.
Oh, you didn't really believe that, you were in the business.
I never did believe that.
Well, how'd they scare you about going outside? What kind of stories to tell you about that?
Oh, I don't know that. These old tales, you know, that these old timers would tell. They just would tell things and it scared the kids.
Mm-hmm. But there were trolls around? Is that what they told, or was it trolls, or was it people going around?
No, not for people. No, we were never scared of people.
Well, you weren't?
No.
Uh-huh. So it was trolls. Was it supposed to be trolls in the barn, or that would go around?
Well, I don't know. As a child, that I was especially scared of the darkness, so I think just about anything could scare me.
Can you tell me about your childhood home? Was it nice compared to what you had here? Did you feel like it was just as good?
Well, we had a very, very nice childhood
home.
Yes. We did over here before we went to Norway, too. We had a really.
Mm-hmm.
And as we, grown, got bigger, that we, like I say, that we worked out in the fields an awful lot. And,
couldn't have started that right away. You were just 7 when you came over there.
It's funny, you don't have to be very big before you have to pitch in and help. And especially in the summer where you have to use the rake and rake the hay together. That we had to do the first summer, I know that.
It was all done by hand.
Yeah,
was. Did you get any machinery at all before you left Norway?
Well, my uncle, he had a mower. That was drawn by the horse. But outside of that, it was nearly all work by hand.
Now, as far as going to church, did you walk?
We walked in when there wasn't snow. And then when there's snow, it was the skis.
Mm. You didn't go
and that back? Didn't take very long then. I think a little bit better than a half a Norwegian mile. I imagine would be between 3 and 4 English miles.
How about school? Did you go on skis to school too?
Oh yes, a lot of times. Most of the time we did in the winter, but there we didn't have very far to go.
Oh.
That was just farther in on this here place we called Tveiten. So it wasn't very far.
If you went to school only 12 weeks, did you go to school in the middle of the winter when it was really cold?
Oh yeah, that we went to school when there was, because they tried to have the children out of school before they have to start the work in the spring outside. Plant the potatoes, that naturally was a kid's job, you know.
Picking them all too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So did you have to stop school when you were supposed to pick potatoes?
Well, we didn't stop to any other extent that you see that like I say that sometimes the small ones went and sometimes the big ones, and then the school teacher, he had another place, a third school that he took care of, so they were just rotated.
Mm-hmm. So it worked out that you could go all the time.
Yes.
There was work to do.
Yeah, I think it was worked out pretty much that way.
Mm-hmm. Now when?
And then we had a lot of studies to do before we came back again to school, you know, during that time that we was off, the 2 or 3 weeks. We had to have so much work, homework done till we came back.
So there was no let up then, really?
No. So we had our every days really at home that we had to do.
Did your mother or father correct that then?
No, that all that was corrected after we got back again to school.
Mm-hmm. Did they see to it that you did it, though?
Oh, yes, that's for sure. We couldn't slough on that.
Now, you stayed in Norway till you were how old again?
I was just about 18 when I came back.
So, you were through school, and did you do some kind of work then in Norway before you came here?
Well, the last 2 winters I was in Norway, I was trapping these birds, reaper we call them, ptarmigans they call them here. And I found out that I made more money that way than if I went into town and took the housework.
Is that right?
So I stayed in the mountains most for 2 winters.
Oh, no, it must have been with somebody.
I was with an elderly lady. That was her work all through the years.
What was her name, do you know?
Her name was Ingeborg Tveiten.
Oh. And so you ladies, you'd think that would be a man's job, wouldn't you?
Well, there was a few other women that done it. And
uh-huh.
Of course, I loved to be on the skis and loved to be outdoors, so that's where...
Now, did you have a cabin up there then?
No. We came home again every night. We went up in the mountains and took care of our snares, you know, and then we'd come on home again every evening and then go back again the next day.
Now, where did you sell those then? Was this meat for... Did somebody buy these for meat?
We sold them at the stores. I think most of those went to England.
Why England?
Till this day, I think the English people, they have that for their delicatesse, if that is.
That right? Yeah, are they a very big bird?
No, they're very small. They just prick like a pigeon.
So there isn't too much?
Very little. They're very small.
They must be very tasty.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever ate them or not. I think I did. Then Mother used to fix them if there was someone that of the birds that was you know, too much damage or anything that way. Well, then we didn't sell them. They had to be really nice.
So then you got to eat those.
So then we got the taste.
What did you get for them? Do you remember?
At that time, they were was much like... I think was it from 75 euro to a crown.
So that would be comparable to what?
And then if we got these here other, well, I don't think they call them a spruce hen or whatever. I don't know. Those were more because they were bigger.
I see. So then, why did your father decide to come back here?
Well, Martha and Carl, they got the idea first. They wanted to come back again to this country. And so they came over in 1928. They was home only for 8 years, 7-8 years. And then the following year, then my brother Oscar came over here.
Oh, is he younger than you?
No, he's older. He's the third one. Martha, right. Carl and Martha, and then Oscar.
Mm-hmm. And then you're next.
And then my father, he decided in 30 that he would come on over.
Why? Do you know?
Well, the others were over here and they were going, so they were kind of, you know, I don't know then any special reason, but anyway, he came back again here, and then...
Did he want to keep the family together, you think?
Yeah, and then when we came over here, when he came over here, then he sent for the rest of us, and we came over in 31.
I see. Now, can you remember that trip? Tell me about that trip.
That trip, we went through England.
What did you go on? What ship?
We came on the ship from England over to... Quebec, or that name of the boat was Ascania.
So you had to take a boat then from Oslo?
No, boat? From Stavanger to London, and then we took the...
How was that?
That was a nice trip, which is very unusual, because the North Sea usually is rough, but that when we crossed it, it was really nice. But we got terribly rough weather crossing the Atlantic.
Mm. You had to take a train then from Liverpool?
From London to Liverpool. Mm. We took the train.
And you got the other big ship, and that was rough. Did you get sick then?
Oh, yes, then I was sick.
Was everybody?
Well, I think most of them were, but it was everything was closed. They couldn't go on deck or anything because it was... Just one of those fall storms, I guess. That
what month was that?
In September.
Of 19...
The later part of September in 1931.
Hmm.
And then we took the train from across country. That was in through across Canada.
How long did the trip take you?
I think the all together was about a couple of weeks. Seems to me that we left home around the 15th of September and was over here one of the first days of October. I can't say exactly the date, but it was one of the first days.
Mm-hmm. How was the train ride?
Well, the train ride was all right, but it sure was a black, dirty train. Mm-hmm.
Did they have food on the train?
Yes.
Yeah, but you could speak English, so you didn't have any problem.
I had forgotten most of my English. There was a... I could use a few words naturally, but I was very poor. And till this day, I run out of words that I can't find in the English language.
You still speak Norwegian then?
Oh, yes.
Now your mother could speak it, though, so she could order food for you.
Oh, yes, mother could, yeah, she mm-hmm. could.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have any problem with that?
No,
that
no,
But it was just that it was dirty. And you came right to Tacoma?
The train went to Vancouver, and then mother and the younger, the two boys, they took the train down. But my brother, Oscar, came up to Vancouver, and we went in the car with him. You see, we had our birth certificate, so we could just travel on those. That's the only thing we had to travel on.
The only way you could travel was in a car? You couldn't go on the train?
Yeah, we could have gone by the train, but the boys had to go with mother because they had the visa where they were born over in Norway.
See.
They couldn't cross the border, you know, with the...
I see. What kind of a car did he have? Do you remember?
No.
1931?
I can't remember what kind of car.
Now, how did you feel about leaving Norway and coming to the United States again?
Well, I don't know. It was kind of... I missed the winters most of all. And I started working here, you know, housework, and stayed in the houses, you know, where I was just not used to that. And I really was kind of homesick in the winter especially. Mm-hmm. But that kind of... finally it wears off, I guess.
And of course it helped to have everybody here, your whole family here.
Oh yeah, and then we had, you know, mother's sisters were here. And naturally we was together with those children where we were brought up together to begin with. And it was fun to be with them. And to this day it's lots of fun to be together with the Lelands.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, we get together every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you started work as in doing housework.
Yeah, I was doing housework. I stayed with that for all the time, really. And then
till you were married?
Yeah.
Where did you meet your husband?
We met, I think, down by, wasn't it at Norman Hall, Anton?
What?
Where we met?
It was down.
I think it was, we had been up to Norman one evening, and then I don't know how we gathered together, and then we got in a snowball fight down on 13th and Market Street. And that's when I first met him.
Oh, so you were fighting when you first met
him? Yeah. I can't remember which side we were on or anything, but that's...
That was a play for all.
Just lots of fun.
So then he started to come around? Huh?
Yeah, then from then on, I don't know, that we used to go together. I can't remember exactly what year. Must have been in 33 or whatever it was.
That you met?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a Norwegian also?
Yeah. But he then he goes up, went up fishing to Alaska every summer.
Oh, so you saw him just in the wintertime?
Yeah.
So Did you correspond then with him when he was still alive?
Oh, yes.
And then when did you get married?
In 1936.
Oh, 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
What month and day?
It was in May 21st.
1936.
In
1936. Now tell me about your wedding.
Well, we didn't have much of a wedding. I decided to go up to Alaska, and then we got married up there.
Where in Alaska?
In Cordova.
Cordova, where's that? Way up north, or is it down
well,
by Anchorage?
Well, it isn't too far from Anchorage, but it's on that side of the Gulf anyway, across the Gulf of Alaska. It's up closer to Prince William Sound, I would say.
So you went up there, and you went up there to meet him, and you got married there?
Yeah.
Where did you get married then?
We got married up there then.
But where, in a church or in...?
No, just at the courthouse.
Oh. Did you have, what witnesses did you have then?
Well, there were two of his friends up there.
So what was he doing up there?
He was going out fishing.
And then did you stay up there then?
Then I stayed up there all summer up there up in the camp. That was a lovely summer up in that fishing camp.
Was it?
Yes.
Did you work?
Just more or less kind of volunteer work that I was helping the cook there and kind of things.
So you ate your meals with everybody
else?
Yes,
the whole crew there.
Wait, tell me why you say it was lovely. What was about it?
Well, it was a nice place up there on the island to stay up there in the summer. It really was a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of exciting when the boats came in, and it was just a lot of fun up there.
Were there other women up there staying
with
their husbands too?
Yes, there was. There was other women up there too. And the cook was a woman. She was a very nice lady. So I was around her an awful lot.
Do you remember?
And I learned a lot of things from her.
About American cooking?
Yes, I learned a lot of things from her.
For instance,
I kind of watched her.
Is there something particular that you learned that you didn't know?
Well, the way, you know, she would prepare the meals for the crew like that. It was very interesting in all kinds of ways. I kind of kept my eyes open.
Mm-hmm. Prepare large quantities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you learn to make something that you hadn't before? For instance, maybe pies?
The pies I made an awful lot when I worked for some English people here in Tacoma.
Before you were married?
Mm-hmm.
How was that? You didn't tell me about that, working for them.
Well, that was for some English people. That they both, both of them came from England. And I think he was the one that started that there globe machine. Iron work down here by the 11th Street Bridge.
What was his name?
Their name was Bamford.
Bamford?
Uh-huh.
What was his first name?
Jesse.
Jesse. Now, is that the only people you worked for?
Oh, no, I worked for different ones of them, different people. But I worked for them for quite a long time.
What was the pay for doing? Lived in the home?
The first place I worked, I had $35 a month.
And you lived there?
I walked home. That was a long walk. They lived out on 25th in North 25th in Junette. My mother lived on South 7th in Cushman. That was a good walk, morning and evening.
What did you have to do? What were your responsibilities at that home?
Oh, that was to cook the meals and clean the house. But they were lovely people to work for.
You had to serve the meals also?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were really nice people.
Did they expect them done very properly?
Yeah, I would say that, but like I say, she was a nice person. She was not hard to please.
Did you have to wear a maid's uniform?
No, not there, no.
Did you run into that someplace else where you...
Oh, yes, that I had at different places afterwards.
Okay, how was that? What did you think of that?
Well, it was all right.
Did you have some places that you lived in? Or did you always go home?
No, when I worked at Dr. Lagasa, then I lived in. Then I stayed there. There they had four girls and one boy, and that, there was an awful lot of laundry there. Mm. Because the girls went to the seminary and wore these white midi blouses.
Fanny Wright Seminary?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they all had to be starched and ironed.
Oh boy, and how?
Yeah, that how much did you get paid there?
There I got $50 a month.
Really had good wages.
Oh yeah, that was really good wages for that their time, because lots of the men was working, they didn't have more than a dollar a day for working. Mm. So I sure worked for it.
Mm-hmm. Any other experiences in your working before you got married?
Then I worked for another that was other English people, their name was Gilpin. I don't know if that name rings a bell.
Who are they?
He was the owner of the Northwest Chair. that is not there now. Of course, he has passed on, but the widow, she still is living. I see her every once in a while.
And you kept their house?
Yes, And then after I worked there, I worked for these L.B. McDonald's. Did you ever...
No, who are they?
He was a contractor. Now, they are really, both of them, they are in their 90s now. But they are still well. Mm. And even after I was married, I always was down there when they had parties. And even this summer, I was with them once. So I was with those people a long time. So outside of that, there wasn't...
Well, then you get married, and then how long do you stay in Alaska?
I stayed there just for a couple months, and then I came back home again.
Did you take a coffee break? Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
You came home again? Now, you said you came home again after 2 months. Did your husband come too?
Oh, no, he stayed up there till the season was over. He didn't come... this was May, June, July, August. Must have been there 3 months, because I came back by the end of August, and then he came home in November.
So what did you do when you came back here?
I rented a house. Then had that when he came home.
So you had that already.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where was your house? This is the north end here?
Can't remember where I... No, no, it was in the south end. I can't even remember. Or did I stay with Mother until you came home? I think maybe I did. And then we rented...
Oh, it was up on the Puget Sound Avenue. Part of the Puget Sound.
That wasn't the first...
Okay, then he came home, and then you... Did you
yeah, we rented a place. I can't even remember... where it was.
So then, did he work then after he got home?
No, he didn't work in the winter. No, and then he was home for a few months, and then in March he went back up to Alaska again.
And you stayed here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, then I stayed here.
No, did you work at all? Or did you begin having a family? Or what?
At that time, then our oldest boy was born.
What's his name?
Siglal.
Yeah. What does he do?
He worked up in the Arctic most of the time, up by the oil fields.
Oh, was he married?
He was married.
Does he have children?
One boy.
Oh, what does that boy do? And what's his name?
No, he's just a small child.
Oh,
he's,
I see.
10 years old. Mm.
And then, did you have more? Or tell me about your life after you're married.
Yeah, then we had Philip. He is married and lived up in Fairbanks. He kind of goes between Fairbanks and Juneau, but he lives in Alaska.
And what does he do?
He had a fishing boat for quite a few years, and he sold that. And then in the winter, he always been working as a heavy equipment mechanic.
Mm. Is he married?
Yes.
And he has, who did he marry?
I don't even know her maiden name.
Is she from up there?
Yes.
Or do they have children?
No.
Mm. Did he have more children?
And then this here one, this Alf, he is a third one. And he, he was married a few years, but then he broke up with his wife, and he got two daughters.
Oh, what are their names?
Wendy and Heidi.
Does he have them, or does she have them?
No, she had them, but he has them quite a bit when he's home.
Mm-hmm. What does he have an occupation?
He works in Alaska.
Oh, what does he do up there?
Well, he also is a heavy equipment mechanic, and then he got his own mining outfit up there.
Oh, where?
That in the summer, around not too far from Fairbanks.
So all your boys are in Alaska?
In Alaska, yes.
Do you have any girls?
I have one. She's down in California, but I had her before I was married to Anton.
Oh. What's her name?
Junis.
And is she married?
Yeah.
Who's she married to?
Well, she's not married now. She.
Oh, who was she married to?
Palmer Folden was she was married to. Uh-huh.
Did they have children?
They had two boys.
What are their names?
David and Gregory.
Now, does she have them, or how old are they?
Oh, that they are on their own now.
I see.
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they do?
David, he is kind of a produce manager in one of the larger grocery stores down there, chain stores. And Gregory, he's out with the Merchant Marine.
Oh, now are they married too then? And
David is married, but not Gregory.
Does he have children?
He has two little girls.
Is that right? Okay, now did you work out at all after you were married?
Not anything except like I say that these here different parties. I did a lot of catering work that way and just worked in people's home, but not ever steady.
Hmm.
Except when must have been in the early 60s when I started working over at Scandia Gord. Then I was
in Gig Harbor?
Yeah.
What did you do there?
Well, I worked in the kitchen. That was namely, you know, getting, it was with pastry and making the sandwiches.
So you were the cook there?
Well, and then later on, when they started having the smorgasbord, naturally I was the one that done the cooking.
Oh, so you were head cook?
Yeah.
For the smorgasbord?
Yeah. So I stayed with that for until I think was 73 or 75 when I quit.
15 years, not 30
something
or 15
like
years, 15
yeah.
years.
They changed from one owner to another, but I stayed on.
Uh-huh. Did you like that?
Well, it was most fun for the first owners that was there. It was really more Scandinavian then, because they strictly was working on the Scandinavian, but the other ones, they kind of went down and down. They lost a lot.
Now, what do you mean by that? Tell me about that.
Well, because the people that are brought up here, they didn't keep the traditions that they were used to from
the foods.
Yes. So that's why it got quite different. Were you ever over to Scandia Gord?
Now they brought it, so then you had to start cooking other kinds of foods besides Scandinavian for the smorgasbord?
Well, when I worked for this here, Roy Torstensen, he was the one that started that there.
Mm-hmm.
That he only had the pastries and sandwiches.
On the smorgasbord?
No. He didn't have smorgasbord. No, they just ordered the sandwiches what they wanted.
And they were the open-faced sandwiches,
yes,
that Norway has.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then I worked for 5 years, and then he sold it to Mrs. Anderson.
Mrs.
Harold Anderson. And then she decided to have the smorgasbord. That's when we started with that. Mm-hmm. And from
what year was that?
It must have been in 78. I'm not quite sure, but I think it would have been in 78. 77, 78.
Now, what did you have on your smorgasbord?
Oh, they varied from so many things, you know. As far as they went, very much in the same order as you go to any of these here... what do you call it, the buffet,
was it strictly Scandinavian food?
No, it was not strictly. We had as much as we could, you know, fix up and things like that, but it was not strictly. This is where I say that they were losing the Scandinavian effect of it. Because
as soon as the smorgasbord started?
Because they got so many things that was not Scandinavian whatsoever.
Mm. So the smorgasbord wasn't ever really authentically Scandinavian?
No, that it wasn't.
Mm. And then?
Well,
how
then,
long did she have it?
She had about 5 years, and then she sold it to, I think that he was Italian, and then went from Italian to French, where there's some French people that have it now. And I don't know anything about it out there now.
Did the Italians still have a smorgasbord?
I think they went in more to the dinners.
Mm. You didn't work there then?
No, I quit then.
Oh, what about... Were you active in Scandinavian organizations?
Oh, I've belonged to the Daughters of Norway now for just about 50 years.
Was it right from the beginning?
I joined the Daughters of Norway in 1932, the year after I got over here.
But it had been going before that.
Pardon?
It had been going before that.
Oh, yes, yes. You must have heard of the Daughters of Norway.
What did you do in the Daughters of Norway? Did you have an office?
I think the only office I held there had been the marshal, which I had several times. But that's the only thing I have held in the office there.
What did you enjoy about the Daughters of Norway? What do you enjoy?
Oh, I like the Daughters of Norway. It's a good little lodge.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, they do a lot of good, you know, that they...
Like
they for people, you know, like they, right now, you know, they're quite active in for the food bank and things in that way. And if it's people they know are in need of anything, they help them and they give to the boys' club, they give to the send children, you know, to the camps, and they do a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we've been busy getting things, helping and buying things for the hall, you know, to the Normanna Hall, like getting that, so that they, but they do a lot of.
It's a good social.
Yeah, I belong to the Sons also.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
You do anything in that?
Mostly cooking.
You do the cooking. Now, do you cook for down the Scandinavian days also?
I was in head of the kitchen down there for the Scandinavian days.
This year, or have you been other years too?
Several years.
Mm. So what does that entail, being head of the kitchen?
Well, that's all the sandwiches we make down there.
Mm-hmm. So you do the planning? You do the planning?
We plan together. Mm-hmm. And like in the spring, then the daughters in Norway go out to the PLU for the Scandinavian festival out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I usually have been taking care of the sandwiches. I don't know if you've ever been in on that.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I don't know if in anything special.
How about have you been active in, has your family been active in church here?
I haven't been too much active in church lately, but when the children went through Sunday school, with here one of the boys, he had a perfect Sunday school record for 12 years that he didn't miss a Sunday.
Mm. What church was that?
That was Our Savior's Lutheran Church, which now is not there anymore. They merged in with the Gloria Dei.
Do you remember some of the pastors there?
Went into the church. In fact, that was a church that I was baptized in.
When you were here before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that minister's name was Ordal. And through then, I don't know, there was a period, I don't know who exactly were, but then when we joined the church, it was Reverend Redal, father to Reuben Reda, who got the central
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the one named Stranjord and Shefflin, Williamson. So there was
mm-hmm.
several of them.
Did you have an office in the church then when the children were little? Were you active then?
No, I was active. The only thing I was had an office in, I was a president for the Luther Child Center Guild.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Luther Child Center Guild.
Yeah, you see that their Luther Child Center that was originated as an orphanage out in Parkland,
mm-hmm.
and. From there on, it went from up to, they moved it up to Everett, up in that their old college there that they had. I think it started, I don't know how come, but anyway, that it was up there. And until then, they built their new facility for them.
That isn't the name of it, though. Didn't they change the name?
I think it's Luther Child. What is it? There was a change in it, but
I thought. So you were president of the guild then?
Yeah, for either 2 or 3 years, I don't know.
Did you earn money for that?
Oh yeah, we bought a lot of things for the children up there.
How did you earn your money?
Well, by making things and selling things, you know.
Bazaars?
Yeah, well, we didn't have a bazaar, I don't think, but we just kind of, among members, we sold it and sold it to others. And
kind of things did you make? Scandinavian things?
Well, it's just
arts
different.
And crafts?
Yeah, that's what it more or less was.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone back to Norway?
We went back to Norway in 1970.
All of you, or?
No, just my husband and I.
How did you see a lot of changes?
Well, there are a lot of changes in people, but you know the mountains and streams are the same. They don't change.
So you...
And it was really fun to go back again, and there was a lot of different things that was kind of new to us. And
like what?
Especially like road signs and things like that was never there before, and a lot of those were kind of confusing, but it was really fun.
Well, then you went back in.
Yeah, then we went back in 75.
And in
79.
But back to the first time you went over, now you said changes in people. What do you mean?
Well, naturally, that after all those years everybody had gotten so much older, and actually that including myself, mm-hmm. When I left there, I was just a teenager, and come back again there many years afterwards. Well, it was that way, naturally. There was people that we certainly would have liked to seen wasn't there anymore.
I thought you meant the people had changed.
No.
Not just growing older.
No,
people.
No.
How about the old place still there?
Yeah, that old place is still there.
Were they using it?
Very little. That my cousin that has it now, I think they use it only for tourists when, especially in around Easter time.
Is it quite large, a house, then? They've got a lot of bedrooms in it?
So. Yeah, there's quite a few bedrooms in it.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I think he rents it out to the tourists a lot in the spring.
What do the tourists do up there?
Skiing.
Oh,
that's a good skiing place up there.
Mm-hmm. Have you kept up Norwegian traditions in your home here?
Well, I think we would call it that. Yeah.
The children all learn to talk Norwegian?
They all of them, I think, can if they have to.
You spoke it when they were little.
Oh yeah, that they couldn't even speak English when they started school. Some of them.
How about the foods?
Well, I think that the food is very. It varies. We have a lot of. Norway, I make a lot of lefse and things like that, and different kind of cookies. I make kransekake, sell a lot of those.
You sell them too?
Yes.
You're still doing that then, earning some money?
Oh, yes. Once in a while, when they have these weddings, I always make quite a few of those.
Oh, do people hire you to make for their weddings?
Yeah, they know that they ask if I make the cake for them, so I make the cake. But I don't care to go on out and serve at their weddings anymore.
No.
I used to.
Did you do that before?
Yeah. But I don't care to.
How did you make your contacts? How do people know about you?
I think it's just more or less by mouth. If you are
word of mouth?
someone eat the cake and they want to know who made it, and then that way you get in contact that way. Yeah.
Well, the kransekake, it's a Norwegian wedding cake, right?
Yeah. Actually, the name of it, I think that they really are called the Danish wedding cake if you come down to the...
Is that right?
Uh-huh. But and in Norway they just call it a kransekake.
What does a kranz mean?
It's a wreath. A kranz is a wreath.
Yeah.
And then you see, you just build them up.
Yes. Is there anything else that you would like to say that I've forgotten to ask you?
I don't think so.
You forgot about...
Reuben.
So you say now that you have two more children.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about them.
Reuben, he doesn't live far from here, but he works up in Alaska. But then he come back at home again, you know, ever so often. That he works, I think it is about 6 weeks, and then he come home again for 2 weeks.
What does he do up there for 6 weeks?
He is working up there on the pipeline, but I can't exactly say what the work is, but he,
it's
that's
on the pipeline.
Where he, yes.
Mm-hmm. But he lives here, has a home here.
Oh, yes. He
is,
has
he married?
Yes, and he has one son.
Oh. What's his name?
Lauren.
Is he just little?
He's 8 years old.
Who did he marry?
Her name was Pearl Jones. That's about all I can say, and she's not Scandinavian whatsoever.
And you have another one?
And then Bruce. He is the youngest one. He was married, but he was separated a year ago from his mm-hmm. wife. He has one little boy. He's 4 years old now. His name is Richard.
What does Bruce do?
He is working up in Prudhoe Bay. And like I say, that exactly what I think he is in the culinary work, but I don't know exactly what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
they change around.
Does he live up there?
Well, that's the same thing with him. They work so many weeks, and then they come back down again for a trip.
Mm-hmm. So home is here.
Yeah, he comes home here.
Now, is there anything else we've forgotten?
No, I don't think so.
Can you say something in Norwegian on the tape before we close it?
I don't know what.
Anything you would like? A little poem, a prayer, or just say something. Tell, if you can't think of anything else, say what Norway means to you, to be Norwegian.
No, put it. Oh, I can talk Norwegian, but I have to know what I'm going to say. Dog. Do you know what I was saying?
Say it again, because I stopped the tape.
Det får vara allt för idag. Nu kan andra snacka lite. So that's...
Tack för idag.
Ja, tack för allt.